bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It's time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take versus Take. You've got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Hopefully you got a fun weekend in store. Clint Scott, Chris Need, Brennan Riker. Brennan has the questions, which means the take versus take belt on a Friday is up for grabs between Sneeder and I. Brennan?
All right, gentlemen. Question numero uno.
You just took a Spanish final, so you're in the mode.
Wait a second. Question what?
Numero uno.
He said numero. I was like, what's numero?
He doesn't know. He didn't do very well on it.
No.
That's the one he's worried about, I'm assuming.
I was just told to say that. We'll start with Clint. You have been selected to join the playoff committee to help them make changes to the college football playoff, but you can only make one change to the playoffs. What change would that be and why?
Like to this year's that's already picked or to a future?
Let's go with future.
Future. Let's see. I really like what the new format is. I like that you have a guaranteed spot for conference champions. That would have been my biggest change, and just that you have numbers. I don't really like a number bigger than 12. And so I think what I would do is I would just guarantee from next year moving forward, regardless of what happens, the first rounds are always played. And, you know, they're this way, but I just guarantee that it's going to be this way for as long as you do an expanded playoff, that the first round will be played at the higher seeds place. Like, it's not a bowl game. It's, hey, if it's Alabama versus, you know, who, like a Clemson coming in, it's going, Alabama's a higher seed. They're in that first round. They don't have a bye. It's going to be played at Alabama. I like the host site NFL style feel. You're going to that better team's place, kind of wild card situation. I really like that. So I would want to guarantee that for as long as possible.
Sneed?
It's pretty simple. You expand to 16 teams, guaranteeing a spot for every Division I conference champion, not just some Division I conference champions, and then play the rest with at-large teams. Therefore, eliminating this idea that a 13-0 conference champion can't get in because their quarterback's hurt. So expand it to 16. Every other league from YFL to the NFL has figured out how to do a 16-team tournament, except for Division I college football. So let's join the rest of the free world.
So every single conference?
Every single
Division I conference?
The MAC, the Sun Belt, yes, all of them get in there. Because who's going to play? They're going to play the top end teams on the other side. You're going to see them when they get in there.
I'm going to give the point to Clint. I'm not sure if I really like the idea, because I think guaranteed Power 5, I think everyone's in agreement on that.
Hold up then. Then what's the point of having a playoff? If you're only going to let some teams into it, then what's the point of having a playoff? Because the one thing that's great about 1AA, D2, and D3 is that no matter what level of champion you are, stronger conference or not, you all get a chance to shoot your shot. And you're just guaranteeing that, because the problem with what everyone's against is they're afraid of Boise State getting on a 6-game winning streak at the end of the year and knocking off Alabama. Well, that's what everyone's afraid of.
You still have a spot for the better group of five, which I don't even know what to call the group of five, because it's not a Power 5 group of five anymore. It's not even a power. I mean, this year's playoff told you it wasn't even a Power 5 this year, and you're not moving to a Power 4. You're moving to a Power 2, And then the Big 12 and the ACC are higher than
exactly
the Mountain West and higher than the American.
Right. It's exactly right. But then see, how long before we just say we're just gonna have a playoff between the Big 10 and the SEC every year? And we're just gonna put 12 of those teams in there. Because that's essentially based off of what you have this year and what you would have, with the exception of the highest ranking group of five, you'd have a bunch of SEC and Big 12 and Big 10 teams and Liberty.
I hear you. I just don't think, I think football's extremely different than your basketball, your March Madness, and your baseball.
Because they managed to do it in FCS. They managed to do it in D2. Boy, that NFL thing's kind of working out a little bit, isn't it? Jeez, heaven forbid. You know, because let's think about that. If you did that and you based it off of stuff like that, Texas Rangers wouldn't have won the World Series this year. Because, they're not really the... No. I know where you're going. I know where you're going with that. No. No. Next question.
We'll agree to disagree.
Next question.
All right.
Next question.
Clinton is up 1-0. We go to Captain Sneedaroo.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best Christmas tradition?
Ooh.
Well, I mean, it depends on your family, but... One Christmas tradition that we have, and it's Christmas Eve at Christmas Eve service. It's coming back home and having tamales and lots of food around the family, opening up one Christmas present the night before. And I'm just telling you what the Sneed tradition is. And it's a tradition that we got away from when the girls got older, but I want to get back into as the as my granddaughters get older. But it's reading the night before Christmas before they go to bed.
So part of that schedule layout, which sounds fun, the one that we did that, you know, a lot of people do is the okay, you get one present the night before. And, you know, this is more from being as a kid. But for some reason, that felt like the biggest victory.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? It didn't matter if you had, you know, a couple presents or, you know, if you're someone that's blessed, you know, like I assume Choice had 800 presents under the tree. For some reason, and my parents always played into it like you had to convince them, even though they were planning on doing it. And you go, please, 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 please. And they're like, all right, you get to open one. And they would pick it out. Like, you just in case you didn't, like, I guess, whatever the crown jewel of whatever they got you, whatever it is. But for some reason, getting that one present, and that could have been the case. That could have been socks. And that felt like a huge win.
Yeah. I remember one year opening up, I had an Intellivision. But the problem was I got the Intellivision video game before opening up the Intellivision itself.
Oh, I wonder what else I did.
So I opened up the present because they didn't pick it out. We wouldn't pick one out. So I picked this one out, opened it up, and it was an Intellivision video game. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had an Intellivision.
So you weren't even like, oh, I know what's another present. You were like, man, how am I supposed to play this?
Well, the funny part was I had a whole bunch more video games wrapped up kind of similarly there under the tree, but I didn't know which one was the Intellivision. So
that's funny.
Well, I do love the idea of the night before Christmas, reading that before, you know, go to bed on Christmas Eve. So I'll give Sneed the point on that one. I feel that's I like that idea of a Christmas tradition.
Is Christmas time the most claymation that's like ever viewed?
Well, I don't. I mean,
because the claymation intake that week is just everywhere.
The claymation, you know, all the, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all all those other things, Frosty the Snowman and cartoons. And I mean, was anybody else kind of wondering why, you know, would Frosty the Snowman kind of creepy hanging out with that little girl? I mean, is like, does that creep anybody else out?
I haven't thought about it before.
I mean, it's kind of a creepy little snowman just hanging out with this little girl. And her parents just letting her go hang out with this little, I mean, hey, little girl, you want to see my
happy birthday? I don't remember that line being in Frosty the Snowman. Please save us with another question, Brendan.
We're about to hit the minute.
Why don't you give us the question? We'll give our answers on the other side. All right.
So tomorrow is Army-Navy.
Yeah, it is.
What is the best rivalry in college football? We'll let you think about it, but it's on your minds.
I mean, I can give my answer before the break.
I can give mine too.
I mean, it's the game. It's Ohio State versus Michigan. And now it's mint a spot in the playoff. And really it's gotten back to where both squads have been elite.
I'm going to say Alabama-Auburn. And that game has had some national championship, much more than Ohio State-Michigan has here in the last decade and a half. Iconic moments, kick six, the prayer.
It is the bottom line. Brennan will, boy, he'll just have to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Take versus take up for grabs. Brennan asked us plain and simply, what is the best college football rivalry? I went Ohio State, Michigan. Sneed went Auburn, Alabama. Those are really the big two, though, right? Those are the first two off the draft board for everybody.
Probably.
I would also.
OU Texas is good.
Texas does not. It, you know, this year, it's the problem was when it's played. Mm-hmm. It's played in the middle of the year. In fact, really kind of in the first half of the year. And yes, it had playoff implications.
But the implications were earthly.
We didn't know. We thought it had more playoff implications for OU at the time than it did for Texas.
The timing's a really good point with that. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, when we did our reset predictions, mm-hmm. us and a lot of people all of a sudden went, all right, well, Oklahoma's in the conference championship, yep. at least, if not Texas working their way back in. And then, of course, in classic Big 12 form, Oklahoma was the one that doesn't show up in the Big 12 championship. But I still think like that is still an elevated rivalry. It's going to be in people's top five.
It's. I'm not saying it's not. We're just talking about from a playoff standpoint, but really, the game we're going to get tomorrow, Army-Navy, man, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. If you want to say what's the best rivalry out there, Army Navy, it really, really, truly, that's one of the best. If you've not been to an Army Navy game, just the reverence that game has for it. Oh, hey, by the way, give your answer.
Yeah, I apologize. Brendan's just biding his time.
No. Y'all are good. I like both of y'all's answers. Clearly, the Ohio State and Michigan, it always again has big implications. But sometimes it's just not. Sure, it's an intense rivalry, but as far as watching it goes, sometimes, because the Big Ten is very different style of football than the SEC, and sometimes it's very difficult for me to sit down and watch a Big Ten game, even if it is in Michigan and Ohio State. Auburn-Alabama, it doesn't matter how good Alabama is and how seemingly not so great Auburn is, it doesn't matter. It seems it's always going to be close between those two, especially if it is in Auburn. And we've had some fantastic endings. Like this year's ending, I mean, I don't think it's not even the top ending of that rivalry, mm-mm. but it was just a fantastic, wild, classic college football finish to a rivalry game. I got to go with the Iron Bowl.
I can handle that. I was flip-flopping back and forth between the two. And I generally do enjoy the actual game. I do actually generally enjoy Auburn and Alabama's outcomes more, but it's just something, I don't know. There's like a reverence feel to Ohio State and Michigan.
Having gotten to do that game four times, it doesn't matter. Even when that game shows up on your schedule,
mm-hmm.
and my white hat and I were talking about this the night before the game, is that people walk up to you and they congratulate you for getting the game. You know, and you're like, it's almost like a bowl game. I mean, it is really something. And that's how, I mean, Army Navy is the same way. I mean, that is a bucket list of bucket list of bucket list games for me to referees Army Navy. And I'll tell you, I got to do Army this year in a regular season game at LSU. And that was just looking at those kids, man. Those kids, they walked out. I mean, the reverence that LSU doesn't show reverence for anybody. But, you know, they didn't trash talk those kids. They didn't. I've never seen the LSU fans be that respectful in a game to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, cheering the opponent, you know, when they take the field. I mean, usually they boo everybody. They booed Lassie. They booed Santa Claus. It was like, right, you know, but they're cheering these kids when they come on the field. That was the first time a service academy has ever come to Death Valley.
Hmm.
And that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do agree. Like, if you're doing like the top five, Army Navy is in there with the other three that we said. It, just because you're saying like a top five, what's the fifth one that gets put in? Because like USC has some rivalries, but like USC, like Notre Dame just has been down.
I would probably say Notre Dame, USC.
That's been
Notre Dame, Stanford,
and that one feels. I mean, with Stanford, that's recency bias.
The Notre Dame USC game has probably lost a lot of its luster since the Bush push.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably about the last time that game had any real juice to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, hey, Notre Dame Navy in the 60s, that game was mm-hmm. woo.
Yeah. Because then you have, I mean, you've got some like Oregon and Washington's, or go in state, and then you have like Florida State, but none of those feel
Civil
like they,
War.
You know, really kind of
Apple Cup,
like the those ones that we listed first.
Well, you know,
and not all on the same exact pedestal, but like the Ohio State, Michigan, the Alabama, Auburn,
you know,
your
OU,
Texas, Army, Navy, those
some
are
low key games. The Tennessee, Alabama,
sure.
I mean, the Tennessee, Kentucky. I mean, that's the South Carolina, Clemson, Florida State. I mean, there's some low key rivalry games in the SEC and the Big Ten. The Wisconsin Iowa game played for Floyd's of Rosedale. a pig.
Big Ten's got some great
the
trophies.
Old oaken bucket.
Clearly, the blue game. Bonnet battle is instantly
the
up the ladder between Baylor and TCU. Right? Everyone loved the trophy for that.
Minnesota, Wisconsin. So play for Paul Bunyan's axe.
Classic.
And, you know, one of the best scenes was playing in the Metrodome. This is back before they built their on-campus stadium. Playing in the Metrodome, and the kicker from Wisconsin kicks the winning field goal, and he runs straight into Minnesota's bench and grabs the Paul Bunyan axe right off of their sideline and celebrates with it. And it was, that's great. He's swinging that axe around. It's like, Mike, don't hatchet somebody there. Skippy.
Let's get in a play of the day, shall we?
Second and seven. McNabb's going to throw, and it's going to be intercepted by Roy Williams. And Williams is inside the 20, inside the 10, and a touchdown. 45 yards as McNabb on second down and seven goes to the outside, and Roy Williams, who's been to two straight Pro Bowls, shows you why he makes the annual trip to Hawaii.
That was 2005 Cowboys at Eagles. Roy Williams gets the go-ahead pick six, and the Cowboys end up holding on 21-20 in that game, and one of the best finishes and Cowboys and Eagles.
You would take that exact score on Sunday night. Huge matchup. We'll have it on Double T97.3 starting at 6 o'clock. The Cowboys looking for some revenge from a loss to Philly earlier in the year. Philadelphia got bounced around at Philly last week against San Francisco, but that should be a dandy as they say. This on the H Flooring Center chat line. Tyler said refs are the crutch of football.
Okay.
That's a good thing. Can't get that, around.
I mean, that sounds like a crutch. That sounds like a shot, but okay. Am I supposed to be offended?
Speaking of a shot, Bullfighter said, I still have that walker. You could use Sneed.
Okay.
All right. This on the chat line, still I'm waiting coming. For Sneed to apologize for the little Giants comment. Also said, get well soon.
Okay, yeah. maybe
you upset
maybe
me
little Giants,
and the crowd on
maybe
the
Little Giants is one of the worst movies of all time. It's a little bit harsh.
Well, because when what age did you watch The Little Giants?
I watched it. I was probably in my 20s or 30s, actually.
Yeah.
It was a movie of your youth.
That's a generation
thing. It's probably somewhat like someone saying the original Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, it actually was a terrible movie. No, but it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
But I apologize. I'm sorry. I did not mean to say the annexation of Puerto Rico is actually a pretty good play.
We accept your apology.
No, it's not.
And now you can throw the ball to Johnny.
Okay.
So, it's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Congratulations to Sneed. You are Friday Take versus Take winner.
Woo-hoo!
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Coverage tonight, 6 o'clock, directly after Tech Talk over on Double T97.3. It's Friendship Girls Basketball. They'll be at home against New Home. And then don't forget, tomorrow, Army-Navy will be on 100.7 The Score at 1 o'clock. Be a big Army-Navy, the actual game, the actual watching of the game. Are you a big Army-Navy guy?
I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I think it's cool. If I'm sitting down at the time, I'll probably turn it on and watch it if it's a close game. But it's not appointment television for me, even though I respect the heck out of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think if you say, because I'm the same way, I love that to me typically has one of the better game buildups for this game doesn't just mean as far as, postseason play or anything like that. I mean, two 5 and 6 teams. Right? 2 5 and 6 teams. And with the offensive style, it's usually a fairly ugly game. And that's how they win games against other teams when they're playing in conference or throughout the regular season. But even with that, it has one of the best buildups to it.
Sure.
And one of the coolest atmospheres. But I do struggle in quarters 2 and 3. When you get to
it's not
just
always
watching the game.
It's not always an exciting style.
Exactly. Yeah. But excited to see what happens tomorrow. Uniforms, great this year to me personally. Really love the, really dig the Army's this year.
Okay.
We got this on the East Flooring Center chat line. Dallas 35, Philadelphia 28.
It's a good game. I could totally see that happening.
Tyler said, I like to watch on YouTube, but I turn the quality way down so I don't have to see y'all.
Turn the quality down? So is it like...
He's trying to make us fuzzier.
Yeah, so we're fuzzy?
Yeah.
There's squiggly in front of you you're topless or something, Clint? We can't show you because you're indisposed or what?
Why did you look at me to say that I was the topless one?
Well, because you're the one that would most likely do that.
I still swim in shirts, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
I swim in scuba gear.
I'm just kidding. I swim in a sleeping bag. The one with the hood. I look like an inchworm drowning. I look like someone threw a 6'4" caterpillar into water. Just hope you survive. thrashing around.
Wow. That's a bad deal. You win.
But I stay warm and cozy.
And drowning.
Yeah, there's nothing more cozy than drowning in a sleeping bag.
Sleeping bags are the worst.
I really don't like them. I would actually freak out more, I think, just from the sleeping bag being zipped up, in all honesty. I cannot stand it. Like, when we go
camping. Just not wide enough.
You're telling me? Yeah. 4x4 over here. Like,
you don't know what it's like to be my size, Amy.
Yeah.
It's I just like to sleep spread out a little bit, and it feels like you can't really do that.
There's not really a... Let me say this actually accurately, because there are, like, big and tall, whatever, however you want to label it, sleeping bags. There are not very many, at least what I have found, what I would call value-friendly. Yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, Mr. Wendell from Arrested Development was great too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
You never heard Tennessee?
I don't know.
Yeah, you should check that one up.
I never really watched Arrested Development.
It's not the show. I will play it for you during the break.
Oh, okay.
I bet you've heard it before. You just don't know what it is.
Maybe. It was a good shot. Wouldn't be the first time. Boy, you got a pretty big blow in news yesterday, and that was about right when we got off the air that Texas Tech announced it, and there was some wonder about the status of Devin Cambridge for Texas Tech basketball, and lo and behold, he's out. He's done for the season. What does that do for... I mean, immediate reaction for your projection for the season? Because to me, I mean, it feels huge.
Yeah, it feels, it feels like a big blow. It really does. Not only was he your starting four, but I feel like he had been, when you were going small, he was your number 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mm-hmm. playing backup post. And I think he provided a lot of toughness for you. He had, you know, for a guy that didn't have a lot of plays run for him or whatever, he was still scoring over 10 points a game, did a lot of the garbage work, great defender as well. I just think he did a lot of things for you that maybe didn't show up necessarily in the box score. Even though his numbers at 10.5 and 4.5 were still impressive. I just, I think that you're in a situation now where you just got to have some guys step up, because mm-hmm. that's a big loss. No way to get around it.
Yeah, because... When you say, like, bigs, he wasn't a big, but he was one of your bigger players and someone that could guard an opposing guy with length. And even then, like, you'll take all the size you can get. And he was a good player. I mean, he was – when he announced that he was coming in to Texas Tech, when he was transferring in, it felt like – okay, was trying to figure out what your lineup's going to be like. He's going to be in your starting five no matter what. Like, sure. He's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And he may not be, like, the best player on the court any given night, but you know he's going to be a contributor and a producer for the team. And where you are right now, where you have so many questions on depth already and numbers, it's like you are already playing a version of small ball and going to it. It feels like you – there's no other way to play than small ball now officially, because I mean, with what you're still trying to figure out with, you know, Robert Jennings and Emily Yolajo, and now, you know, you burn the red shirt for Kyron Lindsey. It feels like you are boxed in to playing small ball. And I think, you know, you can compete in that way. A guard mm-hmm. heavy, and certainly the roster is made up of more lake-ready guards, if you will, right now than bigs behind Warren Washington.
Sure.
But, man, and you're right, because, like, 10.5 points isn't anything to scoff at. But the notion of, like, well, that's easily replaceable when you just look at – I saw someone the other day said, like, oh no, how will we replace a guy who has 4 to 5 layups again? He did that. That is such a basic yeah. way to look at it. And I mean, defensively, he was great for you. Getting up and down the court, he's a great transition player. Off the ball cutting, he might have been your best one.
Yeah, screener, good screener.
Yes.
I mean, just a lot of different things that he did really well.
I thought a good, again, not something in the stat sheet, but much like Toussaint, a good like attitude tone setter
on the court.
Which is really important, especially for leading some of the younger guys that are on your team.
Yeah, I know Warren Washington is a really good shot blocker and all that, but I thought Cambridge gave you as much toughness on the inside as Washington does.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, man, well, it's, you know, trying not to go end of the world for your tournament life or for Big 12 play. But as much as you already had to figure out, this is like, oh, great. And it, I mean, obviously, you hate it for him, too. And he can come back if he chose to with the medical red shirt or the medical waiver. Hopefully he does. I'd love for him to come back and see him as a Red Raider next year.
Sure.
And you could certainly use him. But, man, that was pretty tough news yesterday.
Especially for him, but also for the team.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really tough for me. I'm taking this really hard, Jimmy. Yeah.
Well, Red Raider fans definitely disappointed.
Yeah.
For him and for us.
It is the bottom line. Almost said that as a question. This is the bottom line?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. It's the bottom line, 100.7 the score, for sure. When we come back, we'll have a question of the day.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thanks for joining us on a Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Hopefully you are as well. It's always rough whenever you have something on the weekend you're like, focused on in a bad way. It's just like daunting sitting there.
Like if you have something bad you have
like,
to do?
Yeah, like weekend? You're like anxious about.
What are you anxious about?
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying. Like,
you have to having to sit through the Kansas-Missouri game?
One would not say that I'm anxious about that.
No.
Didn't y'all lose to Missouri last year?
Yeah, that game was not close, nor was it the year before.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
A little bit of holding Missouri under the water until the bubble stopped last year.
History.
Yeah. You know what, Brandon? I don't recall that history because my care is not super, super high.
Yeah. Yeah. Question of the day. What was your favorite part about Kansas beating Missouri last year?
Just kidding. The end.
Just kidding. Just a joke. It is time for a question of the day.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day. Brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
I do want to go to Texas Tech basketball. And this is more of a general wide open question. Not so much for this season. Of course, with football, you've seen a schedule change with the Oregon to Washington State. And then on a basketball landscape, you see every once in a while, it's not quite as often, because scheduling is just so much different. And then you never know who you're going to see in like a Thanksgiving non-conference type tournament or classic or whatever. But you do see the occasional home and home get scheduled, in college basketball. And I just, plain and simply, want to know right now in today's college basketball landscape with who you are as a team and when you look around the rest of the country, who would you want to see Tech get a home and home with if you knew they were going to play like next year and then the year after?
I guess I'm going to take a boring answer here and just go with Duke. Mm-hmm. I just would love to see the Red Raiders play it. Cameron Indoor. I think that would be really cool, whether I was going to the game or not. Just to see our Red Raiders playing there would be neat to me.
Mm-hmm.
I also think about the part about them coming here that would really energize our fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one, that would.
That's the part that would be, because, I mean, like Patrick Ewing, that Georgetown team is terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was still some, to me, there was still something cool about seeing Georgetown and the logo here. Now, Georgetown, yes. And this is...
And Patrick Ewing.
And Patrick Ewing. And this is not on the level of what Duke would be. Because you would think Duke would be bringing in a at least decent team. And then a team that has sustained success where Georgetown was and is clearly down from its history, right? Mm-hmm. So I would be more, I mean, I would be very excited about them going to Duke and seeing them there as well. But I'd be more excited about seeing that, like that logo coming into the USA, seeing Shire and whoever yeah. they're going to roll out with for a roster. And you would think a lot of highly rated freshmen and older guys that are really talented, probably some NBA guys coming into Lubbock would be awesome. So I won't label it boring.
Okay.
Yeah. Brennan?
For something like right now, because I was thinking in the future, in the low-hanging fruit would have been with Texas once they leave the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about right now, I would like to see you have a home and home with Arkansas. I think that's a program that, as much as I dislike that program, has built themselves up as a top SEC team. If you bring Arkansas to the USA, fans will pack the USA to watch Texas Tech play Arkansas. You have history with them. You've played them in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. You played them in the NCAA tournament a few years ago. And then when you go to Arkansas, that's a great atmosphere and that's a great place to play in. And that's one of those places that prepares you for Big 12 atmospheres like Fog Allen and in all the different good atmospheres. Iowa State also. I mean, I think that's yeah. just a really good matchup if you're Texas Tech to have Arkansas come here and then go to Arkansas in basketball.
I like that Arkansas. That's a really good, you know, non-Duke or non-Blue, but whatever you want to call it, Carolina type realm answer. I think if like Arkansas, God, Chuck has ruined Arkansas for me. Chuck Haynes. Like if you went, hey, pick a non-conference opponent to play in every single sport, Arkansas might just fit that bill. To me, an excellent answer. Obviously, now you have a little bit different angle too with baseball included there.
Yeah, just good.
But also just a good
program. Really passionate fan base. It's mm-hmm. good. The good teams are good. Great atmosphere there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fun. It's easy to dislike those people.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand Eric Musselman. If there's one person I extremely dislike, it is that guy. What a cheerleading. So he's like Lane Kiffin in basketball. I just can't stand the guy.
It's funny. I like Lane Kiffin in football. I do agree. And it's not just because of the team they knocked out last year in the tournament. They're like getting on the table and waving your chicken. You're the only basketball coach that's ever like taking your shirt off in the round of 32.
Exactly. It's like, what are you doing? You're a grown man. Act like it.
Did you see his pregame stuff? Or, his preseason speech this year where he like came into the locker room and he was wearing an Arkansas track uniform. So like they could like sprint into the season. Like he had blocks there in the locker room too.
Okay.
It was painfully cheesy.
Boo!
I think my answer is a little bit in the lane probably of the more of like who you would expect. I guess the boring answer. I'd like to see I know you've faced them and it's a little bit different than Duke, but I would take the Zags Same thing.
That'd be fun.
And that feels like, you know, pretty safe that it's going to be a top 25 type team. When the discussion of Zags to the Big 12 was getting real hot and heavy, I was obviously a big fan of if it financially made sense of having that happen anyways. Yeah, I would take a – because I think that would be an awesome environment to go play. I like your reasoning, too. I mean, Duke would obviously work the same way, but an environment to get you ready on that year that you went to that school for some of the Big 12 places you go. Yeah, I would take – I think I'd take the Zags.
I think that'd be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yep. And I feel like a lot of people don't like them. So that brings on.
And it's
– it's the whole, you know, we only play – two or three tough games a year. Yeah, we're ranked in the top five, blah, 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 blah. Can you do it night in and night out in a major conference, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. The you had an easy route to a one seed and like, see, this is why you've... It's funny because they made it all the way to a championship game, obviously got beat by Baylor, and still got the like, see, you guys suck. You made a championship game.
Yes. That's still pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It is the bottom line, 100.7 the score. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We got this on the chat line from Bullfighter. Look, they put ketchup in my bag like I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Also have in this picture some... loose rolling around tater tots.
Okay. Got to keep your tater tots contained.
Mm-hmm. You a tater tot fan?
I'm a big fan of the tots.
Have you ever had tater tot casserole before?
Yes.
Yes.
Man.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. My Midwestern heart just, you know, a tear to my eye. My Midwestern heart loves it, but also slows down a little bit from eating it too much. A little more strenuous pumps there on the old arteries.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thank you for joining us here on a Friday. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Brennan Riker. It is a Viking Jamie Two Shoes BPE hour. Or really 2 hours for you if you do the full-time math. Time math sounds like a TV show that I wouldn't watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around how many variations of like, I guess they qualify as game shows that just keep popping up now and are like around for a season or two and then disappear. And there's like a stacking one right now. There's the one that just popped up. I think it's called Snake Oil. I haven't watched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've not watched that either. Have you ever watched the Lego show, Lego Masters? Every time I see the previews, I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I should watch that. Man, I've never watched it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've never sat down and watched it.
Yeah, well, you'd have to turn off Naked and Afraid.
Never. Never. The thing that I like about Naked and Afraid, if you pay enough, there's just everything. A Naked and Afraid channel. It's 24/7.
What if they combine the Lego Masters and Naked and Afraid?
Oh. Ooh. Oh, that would be a great Survivor challenge, right?
Friend.
What? It would be a great Survivor challenge, like the barefoot Lego walk, right? You don't have to be naked for it. You can be survivorly clothed.
What are you looking for, Brennan? People sitting around in the buff making Legos, playing Legos?
I'm not looking for anything. I'm just pondering what would that be like?
That's a really good point.
No, it's not.
Good.
Why would you ponder that?
No. I meant yours was a good point. Oh, okay. Of like, I was thinking of it as a challenge, but obviously that show was just building. So what would like, are you building them in nature as well?
So what if the nature part, you know, they're in the middle of like the Sahara or whatever.
treasure, like the, or not treasure map, but just a map that they give you. And I'm like, all right, X marks the spot where the Legos are buried. And then as you worry about calories, and also they never worry about sunburn on that show, by the way, which that would be one of my three items is just sunscreen. And then on top of it, as you're just sleep deprived.
Mine would be clothes.
You think that's like one of the, like, it's whenever you ask the, like, a question and you go, hey, what are you looking at of this game? And then the answer is like, oh, a win. Do you think that's that version? Like, all right, what item, three items do you want? And they're like, I don't know, pants. And like, okay, we told you couldn't answer that. It was specifically in the rules. You couldn't say pants.
A sewing machine, some burlap, I don't know. Some thread.
An Amazon account. They can reach you anywhere.
What about the Amazon?
Legos sure in the Amazon. It's time for Tell Me I'm Wrong. Now that we've gotten past an excellent question from Brennan. Really, A-plus work behind the glass. Jamie has our Tell Me I'm Wrong statement today.
Yes, he does.
Were you waiting for a sounder?
I was. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Brandon had something for us. He's always pushing buttons. So, did you just meet me? Hi, I'm Jamie.
You've grown so much in your time with us. Well, not physically.
Okay.
Definitely not height.
Yeah, not height-wise.
All right, we're going to Red Raider football with my Tell Me I'm Wrong today. If you're naming an MVP of the Red Raider football team, why is that funny?
Just imagine if they crossed the two.
And you can't answer Taj Brooks.
See,
I think the answer is Dadrian Taylor Demerson. Tell me I'm wrong.
The one I'm balancing between is Ben Roberts. And I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Yeah, I do
you think... You are wrong!
I think outside of Taj Brooks, it was... And part of it is... Ben Roberts kind of got asked into service at that spot from a big injury. And then it wasn't just Jacob Rodriguez that got injured. I mean, you had multiple guys at that spot go back and forth and battle things. And the whole time, Ben Roberts stepped up, legion tackles. I mean, does everything you want to help anchor the defense. I'm not trying to slight Dadrian Taylor Demerson by any means because he was huge for you, but I think I would lean towards Ben Roberts.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I think he was nails on defense all year long and made a bunch of big plays that really helped you along the way. So I'm not going to disagree with you. You're not crazy. You're not wrong in my eyes.
Okay. I just think he was a bigger playmaker than Roberts was. And you didn't have another playmaker like that on the defensive side of the ball.
I think that's fair.
I mean, it just swung momentum. Just huge plays.
I mean, what he did against TCU alone.
Was massive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I do agree from like the playmaker status defensively, or really just as a team, if you wanted to go offense and defense, he was one of the few that I would label a playmaker. So I see where you're coming from. It's still just the steady body of work that was and maybe the unexpected part, because it's like, would I feel the same way if it was like Jacob Rodriguez had that season and he never got hurt? Would I feel the same exact way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe not. I mean, you still would certainly appreciate those numbers from Jacob Rodriguez if he had Ben Roberts' numbers and didn't have that early season injury, but... I do think the unexpected kind of feel adds into me. or to my answer a little bit.
Yep.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, according to Kaylee's Dailies, eagles are more likely to lay eggs. This on the chat line, Bullfighter wants to know if you are going to come watch the other baseball games with him at the Shriner Tournament in February.
Surely, we will.
Surely.
We'll just, we're going to sit there. He's going to bring a notebook. We're going to come up with, you know, insult lines for you. That's how we'll spend our time during the other games.
It shouldn't be very
What
hard
could we
for
make
you.
Fun of Clint about?
They finna cook you. short for goose egg, a zero.
Yeah, I get that one. A goose egg, that's zero to me. That's a shutout.
And maybe that's what was crossing
but
my
not,
mind.
But not just an egg. When you lay an egg, I don't take that as a shutout. I take that as you played poorly.
I think it stands for or means like, yeah, you just played poorly as a baseline. But I think it started with the reference to a goose egg.
Is the goose egg more round than a regular bird egg?
I would guess just bigger, depending on the bird.
Well, yeah, if it's just a size thing, then why didn't we go like, boy, massive ostrich egg on that one, huh? Alligators lay eggs too, by the way. Crocodiles.
So do dinosaurs.
Ooh, that's... laid a big dinosaur egg on that one, huh? Come on,
I
guys.
I saw that on Jurassic Park.
Mm. Bullfighter said, did y'all know birds don't pee, they just poo?
Is that a dad joke? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's science. Okay. You take out the fact that we just use the words pee and poo. I've never.
I can believe that.
Yeah, I've never considered laying an egg and being a shutout. Yeah. I think the way that you were using it is how all of us use it.
Yeah. But Clint dropped an egg.
I did drop an egg. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you drop an egg in blind projections. You did your best.
I tried. It interesting.
You know what? I'm gonna accept the win. I've decided if it happens.
You should. That way I don't have to put that massive trophy in my office.
That's what you want. Yeah, you just don't have the room for it, right?
I don't, because of all my other trophies.
All of them for pickleball. It's the bottom line 100.7 score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.